They're a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my treasured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You got a Bible. Let's open it up to the book of 1 Peter again. And I appreciate again that we could meet and worship. I've started a series. I'm enjoying it immensely. I needed again to just sit down and preach through some of these epistles. And I started on this one, being 1 and 2 Peter, because he talks again to churches that are going through persecution. And I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I can look off into our future and see that we're got troublous times ahead. We're in a changing world again. And I like that verse we just read in Exodus that says, "And there rose up a king who knew not Joseph," again. And so there's rose up a regime that doesn't know Christianity at all. And we're in for some exciting times as Christians in America. And so I thought it'd be good to go through a couple things. Another one I'm doing in our Bible studies, on Sunday night Bible studies, I've had one that I've been outlined trying to get to on depression. I've learned a lot of things about depression again. I've never experienced depression. I know those who have. I know those who have spent weeks and months in severe depression. And so I thought it'd be good to look at that. But on the way there again this week, I want to go ahead on Super Bowl Sunday. If you can tune in again on Facebook during the halftime or something and maybe get the message on stress. Dealing with stress. We've heard several testimonies, even here at Good Samaritan, of stress. The workplace stress and dealing with people during these times. If any of you watch the news, you need a lesson on dealing with stress again. So if you get a chance, tune in tonight and we'll go ahead and go through what a psychologist says. And then I'll try and balance that out again with what the scriptures say. and we'll keep a good balance on that. So if you get a chance, this week's Bible study, first Sunday night, appreciate again the opportunity to do that. But right now, let's continue on in our study in 1 Peter. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter. I'd almost start again with Psalms. What's that psalm that says, "I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help"? Psalms 121, I think it is, anyway. We need again to look for God's help. And that's kind of a theme that shows up in here in Peter. I'm amazed again that as he's talking about suffering, as he's talking about struggling, as he's talking to, again to those churches again, that he painted a picture of them all made in a circle right around Asia, speaking to Gentile churches and Gentiles that are scattered there as strangers, again, to understand that going through horrible persecutions that you and I couldn't imagine. I mean, some of the stories we have of the persecutions that went on under Nero, under, again, the early emperors, when they were throwing Christians to the lions and such. You and I don't know what that is, although there are countries today where Christians are dying because of their faith and being told to renounce Christ or die. And you and I, again, sometimes don't recognize, again, what we're going to deal with right here is the fact that they don't like Christ very much. I guess we've seen a picture of that when we put in a conservative leader. And boy, they hated him for 4 years. It was just a vile hatred and lying and deceit. And I guess this week I hadn't heard too much on the news, but they're going to attack again, try to make sure that he can never run for office again. They hate him so much. And it's they don't realize that it's not him so much. It's the 74 million authentic and valid voters that voted to put him back into office that they kind of overthrew that. But we can see the hatred that they have for a conservative position. And again, the hatred that they have for all seven of those Christian planks that I put out. This world is not a friend of Christ. And so there's some things that Peter's dealing with here that I hope we'll emphasize a little bit more today to understand that they're not going to like you very much either, again. And Jesus said that. If they didn't like Christ, they're not going to much like you. And so let's pay attention to what it says here in Peter. Let's go ahead and take our reading. We're right where we left off. I do not have 18 pages in my outline. I just had a pile extra there, so we'll go through four. 1 Peter chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I'm starting right on time. I'm trying to watch the clock a little bit better. Next week, I'm going to preach and say amen, and we're going to jump in the car and drive to Texas. And so Beverly and I will be out for a while, going to a 2 weeks trip to Texas and back, where we'll marry my oldest granddaughter's getting married and ask us to come down and do the wedding. So we're excited to be going to Texas, and we're excited to leave you all in the freezing cold. Last time I checked, it was 84 degrees and down in Fort Worth, Texas. And so, praise the Lord. I don't feel bad about leaving in the cold at all. Let's look at God's Word. That's why we're here today. It's in 1 Peter and chapter 2. I already preached through as best I could the first three verses. Let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 4. And let's do this. You look like you're all comfortable there. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word and read again a few verses, a few sentences up here that Peter gives an exhortation to a suffering people, a suffering church, and a persecuted church, and learn some things, again, that we need to focus on in our lives specifically as well. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones," I like that, and we'll look at that in a minute, we also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Verse 9. "And ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Father, praise you again, and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we could rightly divide it. Thank you again that it could rightly divide us and discern our thoughts and intents. And we ask that it again have a power in each life here today. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ we pray it. Amen. You may be seated as we look again at this portion of Scripture. As we begin here, we looked at last week, and I hope you have this outline in your Bible scribbled out. Over in verse 18 of chapter 1, it says that ye may know. And so we want to start out with a knowing, know-so salvation. We looked last week at the fact that God will change you till you know it, or save you till you know it, and change you till you show it, praise his name. And then you jump across to verse 2 that we looked at last week, that ye may grow. And you're not growing into salvation, as the modernist Bibles depict, but you're growing in Christ. And so, number one, that you may know that you're saved. Number two, that you may show. And then today's theme is over here in verse 9, that you may show. Listen, that it shows. Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Thank you. I knew they had to see something there. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so notice again that we are to show. We're left here to be a witness, Jesus said. Four Gospels give us a commission to go into all the world. Acts 20:21 tells us what we should be preaching. And John 20:21 tells us why, as we've kind of picked that up as a theme, at least I have, for the year again, that we need again to be his witnesses, and we need to repeat, preach again, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we have an ability to show there, that's kind of the theme that we want to have. And then jump over to verse 21 for the go, and you got to kind of write the go in your margin. Peter did good at rhyming all these until he got to the last one. And so it says again that we should walk in his steps. And behind that, I've written that we need to go. And again, we need to be witnesses. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world." And we need to be goers. And so let's jump back again to our text here and notice the context of it. We're looking at the fact, again, that the theme that I want to draw out is that we need to be ones that would show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called Christian. A lot of things are called Christian today that aren't. And a lot of people are called Christian that aren't. a lot of Roman Catholics. Again, if you ask the world what Christianity is, the world in America thinks it has something to do with the Pope. And the Pope is not Christian. He's Catholic, okay? And so, again, remember that, again, we are Christian. They were first called Christians as a slur, as a slander to them, because they look like Christ, they act like Christ, they react like Christ, they think like Christ, and therefore they called them Christian. And listen, I've seen a lot of, quote, Christians that oughtn't be called Christian at all, because they don't look like Christ, they don't act like Christ, they don't think like Christ, and they don't react like Christ at all. And so we, again, are going to focus on the fact that we need to show forth Christ as a peculiar people. And so that's the kind of the theme here. Let's go ahead and look at some of the attributes of Christ that were first given. It says in verse 3, we've got to jump all the way back to verse 3, to see that where we're going. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, in whom? And so, again, the subject for the whom there is, again, in verse 3, that we have tasted of the Lord that He is gracious. In whom, that's the Lord, in the Lord, in whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And so again, the Lord Jesus Christ is dismissed by man. I hope Tim and Linda get tuned in today. Linda's working, so. But Tim called this morning, and we've gone over a guy named Lee Strobel. Anyone heard of Strobel? And the book that he wrote, he was...
The Case for Christ.
The Case for Christ, that was the book. And I read that, I love that. That and C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, again, came the same way. Started an investigation to deny Christ and defy the testimony of Christ, and ended up becoming a Christian about it. And so C.S. Lewis, he never left the Anglican Church, so I'm not sure how Christian he became, but he did write a lot of literature, and again, his book about mere Christianity, again, is a tremendous testimony of what it means to accept Christ. But Strobel did the same thing, and he found out that this one that he had rejected all his life and heard mocked and scoffed at all his life, all of a sudden he found out that's real. And he became a believer and wrote several books. And so again, as we look here at this fact, understand this, that he's not received by the world. In fact, he's rejected by the world. He's despised and rejected, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, of man. And again, it's the same thing is true today. I saw the placard on Facebook, and I saw heard a couple of preachers mention it since. Of some demonstration they were having, I think it was in Canada, where a guy had a big sign that says, "If Jesus comes back, we'll kill him again." Listen, that's the attitude of the world. That's the hatred they have. And that's foreign to you and I. You think, what is wrong with these people? Why can't they get their head on straight? We think of that. I think of that of all Washington, D.C. today again. What is wrong with these people? And that's what a reprobate mind is. And what we're looking at here is the fact that, hey, that's what they think of Christ. And again, don't think that even though, hey, we've got constitutional rights, we need to depend on our Savior more than we depend on our constitutional rights. And understand here again that he's dealing with the fact that Jesus was rejected. The stone, it says here, that the builders rejected. So I want to look at that he was disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And I want to look at him as a living stone. And notice again, it says that he was a living stone, and ye also, verse 5, as lively stones. And so that's just as he was a living stone that was rejected, you and I as lively stones, not dead stones, okay? I think I've told the story here too many times of the big church, and they were having church, and someone slumped down in their seat and died right in the middle of the church service, and they wanted to keep things kind of hush-hush, and so they had the ETs come in, or the emergency squad come in, And they said, okay, this person down here died, and we just want you to, don't disturb the service, we just want you to slip in and take out the dead person, and then we'll keep right on going with the service. Well, they took out three people before they got the right dead person again. So, listen, we don't want to be dead people, even when we're sitting in church again. And so notice again that we're called here lively stones. I don't like to say that, lively stones. I don't know what that is. Living stones, I like. He is the living stone, and we are lively stones. I think the emphasis is the fact that we get our life in Him. We're not living on our own. We're living in Him, and that is mentioned in the text. So we are to be lively stones in this context. And notice what it says there in verse 5. We are built up a spiritual house as these lively stones. And we have a construction site going on here in our picture. We are to be a spiritual house. We are to be a holy priesthood. We are to be offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then in all three of those building up areas. Okay, so as these building stones, lively building stones, we are to be built up. And we are to be a spiritual house. We are to be a holy priesthood. Now, that's not that we're a holy priest, but we as a people are a holy priesthood. What does the priesthood do? It intercedes for others. Praise the Lord, you don't need some guy dressed in a black dress with his collar on backwards to intercede for you. We have a high priest. But we are to be a priesthood interceding for others, yea, even being ministers of reconciliation, the Bible calls us. And so we are to be a priesthood that would intercede for others, and we are built up that way as living stones or lively stones. And then lastly, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And I can't help but think after our Thanksgiving services and worship, what is the primary living sacrifice or the sacrifice that we're to give? Of course, we're to give of ourselves, Romans 12, 1 and 2. But Hebrews 13 says that we are to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we are to be thankful. We are to, in everything, give thanks. Yeah, try that in an inauguration of a leftist regime. In everything, give thanks. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to rejoice evermore. And those qualities in our life, again, is what could cause us to be two things, lively stones, alive with our faith, but also to be an example, to be looked at. So that we could show forth the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And then look what it says there in verse 5. I think I'm still in verse 5. It says, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And sometimes we stop there and think, yeah. I never did good in English in school. I'm sure our two high school graduates. How are we doing, Zach? We're going to be called that soon? Okay. So I'm sure they have diagram sentences, no? We don't do that anymore. So anyway, when I was in school, they used to make you diagram sentences. And I did horrible at that. But I did take my 4 years of required English and got out of there again with a reader's diploma in New York State. But just the same, I didn't learn to diagram sentences until I started studying for the Bible, studying for the ministry. I didn't really learn to even look at words and what place they played. Until I took Greek and figured out that, man, I need to know what these words are and what they're doing to me again. And so it's important to look at when we're reading the Word of God, the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto God. It's good to diagram sentences, especially if Peter's writing. No, not especially Peter. Paul's got more rhyme sentences than Peter does. But Peter here has a ton of information crammed into a sentence. And it's like he's talking about you showing forth Christ. But he's got to again stop and say, hey, look at this on the way by again. And so there's several things that he's covering on his way to that theme that you show forth Christ. And here's one of them again. We are built up a spiritual house, watch this, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are built up a holy priesthood acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are to be built up to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. All of those things are acceptable to God, not because Mr. Goody Two Shoes here does it all, but it's because we are in Christ. It's because it's acceptable to God because we're in Christ. Sometimes we have little contests. Well, I'm sure you don't. But sometimes I see preachers have little contests about who's the most spiritual, who's the most wise, and who's the best preacher. And I don't enter into them because I don't win any of them. But again, lots of times we think we're pretty good, you know. And we get and what's that verse that says you ought not, I think it's right after Romans 12, 1 and 2. You ought not think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. And we can get stuck in that trap to where we think we're something. And again, the emphasis here is that everything that we are is in Christ. And it's made acceptable to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to file that away and keep that in our mind. And now we have Peter here who's going to go off in two different directions. And I want to follow them both without losing you. And so let's go ahead and look at verse 6. So from verse 4, he talks about Christ being disallowed indeed of men. And then he picks that thought up after he'd just gone through some things in verse 5 about you and I and how we have to do things and be built up into some attributes that are Christ-like by the power of Christ. And then in verse 6, he's going back to look at what he just said in verse 4, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the living stone disallowed indeed of men. You all with me? Verse 6. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be condemned. Now let's go ahead and hold your place here, and let's look at the presentation of that idea. And it starts way back here in... Let's go to Isaiah 28, where the quote comes from. If you buzz by Psalms 118 on your way, hold your thumb there. It's Isaiah, I think that comes after Psalms someplace. Isaiah in chapter 28 and verse 11. Here's a quote again that he gives. And the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, you know that. The New Testament is written in Greek, you know that. And sometimes when they quote scriptures, they do a translation process and it comes out with a little different words. When I quote scriptures, I do not change the words. Listen, when Jesus quotes scriptures, he can change the words all he wants. Okay, does that make sense? When I quote scripture, I am very careful. If this is a quote, now I do paraphrase scripture, but I don't give it as a quote. Here Jesus is given, or Peter's given a quote. And listen, when an apostle quotes scripture, he's allowed to change the words any way he wants. And again, a lot of the modern scholars think, well, they're getting this out of the Septuagint, because the Septuagint reads that way. If you've got a Septuagint, you're okay in my book if you just take it out to your burn pile and burn it. Okay, I don't believe in a Septuagint that was written in Egypt. It's a translation of the Hebrew scriptures, and supposedly it's holy and written by 70 men, but there's no proof of that. And again, a lot of the modern scholars think, well, the Septuagint, listen, I don't care what the Septuagint says. We've got a holy Bible. Let's see what it says. And if Jesus seems to be quoting from the Septuagint rather than quoting the Hebrew Bible, it's because he's quoting in Greek. Or maybe Aramaic that they spoke in that day, and not in necessarily in Hebrew. We know the sign over Jesus at the crucifixion. Remember the sign? It says, And a lot of the scholars say, look, every sign is different. Well, listen, it was in like four different languages, and so every one of them is a little bit different. And so each of the Gospels, they aren't contradicting each other. And so be careful of modern scholars that try and change the words of God and switch around from what we have here in our Holy Bible. I got off on a tangent. 28, Isaiah chapter 28, and let's look again at the verse he was quoting. And Isaiah chapter 28, I know I should have put bookmarks in, and verse 16, Isaiah 28, 16. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, and notice the Lord God there in your Bible. Notice the small letters on Lord and the capital letters on God. Understand some things about the name of God when it's given again. Small letters means, again, that's talking about the word Lord. Capital G-O-D does not mean it's talking about Elohim. It's not talking about the formal name of God. That is actually the unspoken name of God. And we speak it as best we can as Jehovah. And so that's the symbols or the words that we have put together if we're going to speak that name. But it is the personal name of God. And so the Lord God, that's different. Normally, it's Lord, capital Lord, L-O-R-D, small G-O-D. That's Jehovah God. This is the Lord. That means He owns me, okay? And He is God. The Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Psalm 118, verse 22. Psalm 118 and verse 22. Says this, Psalm chapter 118 and verse 22, says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Matthew 21. Matthew in chapter 21 and verse 41. Just so we'll get a context for this and see again the same reference. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 41 says, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. That's just so you can have a context. You all know where we're at now. Again, I hope you're familiar with the parable that he gave there. About the husbandmen who slayed the son when he came to get him. And again, that's who he's speaking to here with this parable. Verse 42 says, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now stop right there and let me, I just recognized I missed something over in Psalms 118. He gave the other verse out of Psalms 118, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. If you read down Psalms 118, the next couple verses, it says this, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in it. And I like to say that when I get up in the morning and see the sunrise and say, man, I live through the night. This is the day that the Lord hath made. But listen, in context, that is talking about the day that Christ died for your sins. You go back and look at it up in Psalms 118. It's talking again about the day that Christ is rejected. It's talking about the day that this cornerstone was rejected. And then it says in that context, this is the day that the Lord hath made. It didn't surprise God at all. And so just remember that. Next time you quote that verse, remember that's applied in Scripture to the day that Christ died for your sins and for my sins. To me, that just makes that day all the more precious. And the fact, again, that we could recognize that. in our rejoicing. Verse 43 says, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Oh my. "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." Then look what Jesus says about this cornerstone. And it's the same thing that's being rehearsed by Peter in our text. "But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." And when the, like verse 45, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them." Really? Yeah. And so turn back to Peter here again, and let's look at his context. He's saying the same thing, and it is sometimes you can get a little mucked up with it here in this verse. "Unto you, therefore, which believe," verse 7 says, "he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which builders disallowed." Okay. Now, he is not the stone which the builders disallowed to the world. Instead, you and I see him as that, hey, they didn't want anything to do with this stone. The world don't see that. The world just rejects Christ. And so it says, "But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made a head of the cornerstone." So they have disallowed it, not knowing what they're doing, in complete ignorance of God, and in rejection of him. And again, the ignorance of this world, again, towards Christ is astounding. The fact, again, that they'll curse his name. They don't curse in the name of Buddha. They don't curse in the other names of other gods. If you curse in the name of Allah, goodness gracious, they'll come and lop your head off again. Notice again that Christ here is rejected of the world. Now, I want to stop halfway through here and think, what do you suppose they're going to do for you? Remember when Jesus said, "Hey, they hated me. What do you suppose they're going to do for you?" And so, again, we're not going to be well received in this world. And sometimes that shocks us as Christians, because we have been for 50 years. But all of a sudden, things are changing now, and Christianity is not acceptable. It's not acceptable to the left. It's not acceptable to any of the news media. I dare you to turn to any news media and find a single mention of the Creator. I remember when Martha Stewart had to put on a show, and she refused to say that some plant that she was planting had evolved this way over thousands of years, and she was blackballed until she had to say that. And so even Martha Stewart's got to bow. Of course, she'll lie about other things too, we found out later. But listen, all the media have got to bow to the God of evolution, period. That's all they'll do. That's all they'll talk about. You'll never find a mention of Creator. I love NPR, there's a Science Friday. I've always listened to it. But on there, I get so hop and mad sometimes because everything evolved over billions of years. And there's never, from this world, an acceptance that we have a God that created us in his image and in his likeness. And so that's a rejection of this world. And that's what science, so-called, holds on to dogmatically. And so, again, understand here that they rejected Christ as the Creator. They rejected him as Lord. They rejected him as the only begotten Son of God. And then it says in verse 9, I don't think I can finish verse 8, "And a stone of stumbling," that, again, they're going to stumble over that. And they have, and they do, and they will. "A rock of offense." His name is offensive to people. I was in the military. I'd pray. We'd go to officer quarters, and we'd have a big officer meeting. And the chaplain would often ask me to pray. So, "Why don't you open our time here in prayer?" And I would. And boy, they got so mad because I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I was pulled aside several times and told, "I cannot pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And it was appalling to me. I mean, this is back in the 80s, 90s, I guess. that, again, that was offensive to them. And even the chaplains weren't allowed to, which I think is why the chaplain had me pray again. They weren't allowed to mention the name of Christ in the military chaplaincy. What is that about again? And so there's a hatred of it. And again, it's not accepted by this world officially or on any other level. And he's a rock of offense. It's offensive to them. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9. And that appointment comes in Romans chapter 1. If you're not familiar with Romans chapter 1, there's a staircase that goes down, 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 down until they worship the creature more than the creator. Again, God gives them up to a reprobate mind. That's where we are in America. Those that are worshiping the creature more than the creator, they're more scared of global warming than they are of the one who created climate. They worship the creature more than the creator, and they were appointed to be reprobate minds. A reprobate mind, and no matter how much light you shine on them, they cannot see the light. They cannot believe. No matter how much truth you give them, boy, this sounds like people I've talked to recently. No matter how much truth you give them, again, they hate Trump with all of their heart, again. And they will not see the truth. And they impeached him for a phone call. Now they're impeaching him for a speech, a rally again, with no cause. And so again, it don't matter how much truth is in front of them, a reprobate mind will not see truth, period. And so there they are. And that's where they're appointed. And the appointment shows up in Romans chapter 1. I just thought I'd throw that in on the way by. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Ye are a royal priesthood. Ye are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. I spent 20 years as a youth pastor. Boy, that was enlightening. And I remember we had a youth camp we went to, and a couple of guys from another Southern Baptist church showed up. I don't know what they were doing there, but they came out, and he had, when he got his hair cut, he had carved in the back of his hair a cross because he wanted to be a peculiar people. Well, that was peculiar, all right. I mean, I've seen people do far more peculiar things, I suppose. But again, it's not talking about what you look like. It's not, you don't have to go out of your way to be a peculiar people, is what I'm trying to say. Instead, you have to be in Christ. And in Christ, you're going to be a peculiar people. You don't have to act peculiar. You don't. And not all of us are normal. In fact, I look around here in the room and think, wow. Normal is a setting on your dryer again. But again, understand this, that you don't have to go out of your way to act weird. All you have to do is be in Christ, and you're going to be classified as peculiar people. And that's the theme here, that we do all this through Christ and in Christ. And so look at verse 9 one more time and understand that every one of those comes by being in Christ, a chosen generation. Now, I don't have a Calvinist bone in my body. I've studied all of John Calvin's institutes, and I reject them all. Even as much as he has rejected Israel. And so again, there's not a new elect, and we are not it. But we are a chosen generation. We saw that back when he talked about salvation in chapter 1. Remember, he talked about salvation, and he said, boy, the prophets, they prophesied about it. They said it was coming, but they never got to see it. But you have seen it because you're a chosen generation. God chose, again, this time frame that you're born in, that we could be partakers of this so great salvation. So ye are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so listen, you're not to be peculiar because you have a cross tattooed in the back of your head. You're to be peculiar because you're standing in the light. The world is in darkness. Remember what Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, that we're to be a candle. And we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see the glory of our Father. And so, I don't know how much more I got to get this in. For that ye show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. And that's kind of the theme, that we could show forth our praises to Him. Boy, let our praises be to Him. I praise God, but anymore I try to get in a praise of Lord Jesus Christ for the reasons I just talked about. Lots of people praise God. Heathens praise God. Goodness, Muslims praise God. They don't know who He is. Their God doesn't have an only begotten Son. And so again, understand that we need to clarify that we are living our lives, and that's what's going to show forth in this darkness, is that we're going to be lights shining forth to show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Again, he's talking to Gentiles primarily here that were, again, what did he call them in the beginning? Strangers in this world. And so, be strangers in this world. That's what we are. We're not going to fit into this world. And we need, again, to show forth His marvelous light. That's what He left us here for. And so, there we have it in verse 10. Even corporately talking about Gentiles and the fact that, hey, we got in. Praise the Lord. Paul goes through several shenanigans, I'm going to call them again, to make sure that we understand that, hey, don't get all haughty because you're a Gentile. Don't think, again, you're going to usher in the millennial kingdom of God because you're a Gentile and you're in a Catholic church. We're neither, again. And we're not going to do that. Instead, we're looking again for the Savior who's going to come redeem us out of this world. Then He's going to take up His dealings with Israel. Be the salvation of Israel, it says. And so, don't get haughty and think again that we're something special. We're not. But we got in. We got in Christ. How'd you get in Christ? By being a whosoever will may come. And so, never forget your position that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And never forget your commission that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should show forth His glory. Father, praise You. Thank You again for Your bounty and blessing. Thank You for Your word. Thank You again, Father, for the message You laid on Peter's heart to a people that were not accepted in this world. Yea, they were strangers in this world. Father, we're learning again how to behave as strangers in this world. And I pray that You'd encourage and bless and help. Father, we love You and understand these charges and the warnings that are given to us even, Father, that we again just hold on tight and follow after our Lord and Savior, Your Son, the rejected stone, and that we could again be lively little stones built up. Thank You for this church. Thank You again that it's built of members that are lively stones for You. And I'll praise You now and thank You, Father, for touching Your words in our lives as we step into a new week, as we would rejoice in Your name. Cause again, Father, that You go with us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's have a moment of invitation. And let's think again about some of the things that God's Word has said to us here. And then if we have a moment of invitation, let's go ahead. That's a kind of prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Have a time again when you examine your soul's salvation and rejoice in that. Have a time when we pray for others that need to be saved.
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, bless you for being here today. Let's go to the house and watch football.
Beginning of football season, I said I wanted to watch it. You guys know I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. We watched it, and the first thing, nobody came out on the field. They played the national anthem. That was the very first game. Not one player, not one coach from either team. Nobody. So I did it. And I knew if I left it on the TV that, first of all, you pay for it. I don't believe it. Second of all, I would watch it. Nope, I canceled it. So I got to work anyway. No one. I had my house this year.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm